begin to read in the book of Acts, you see very clearly that the Lord had a program for his church, and that was, ye shall be witnesses. That is really what the church is. The word church is the word ecclesia, which means the called out ones. And that is those who are saved, who are called out from the world system. And they're called out not to stand out as weird people or misfits, but as witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. And as the Lord was giving instruction to his people in the book of Acts, he was very aware that they felt their weakness every bit as much as you and I do. And therefore, he said that they would be witnesses, but the promise was that they would have the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We read there at the beginning of verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The word Pentecost means 50, indicating that it was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. You can imagine that there was still a great degree of unsettledness among those who gathered in the upper room and met constantly in the upper chamber to wait upon the Lord and to watch and to be seeking for that promise of assistance that the Lord had given to them. And folks, it is vital that we continue to do that. I can't think of anywhere in the world at the moment that I know of where there is what we would call revival. We know that a few years ago there was a great move in Nepal, and that China is so vast that we hear that in places there is a great move of the Lord, or there has been a great move of the Lord fairly recently. There was a man, he passed away, I believe, in the 1980s, called Edwin Orr. He was an American preacher, and he visited various parts of the world preaching about revival. And he researched revival, probably as much as any mere man ever did. And whether it was revival in the days when the disciples that we read about lived on earth, and any revival subsequent to those days, and wherever it was, he said that there never was a real revival, a genuine revival that came except when God's people were praying. But he said, not just praying, but praying unitedly. And folks, that is why we say to you, if you're not able to come to the prayer meeting, if you can spare even part of that time at home or in wherever you are on a Wednesday evening, just to lift your heart to the Lord, then in that way, the Lord knows your circumstances. And in that way, we are lifting our hearts together to the Lord, because it is so important that we follow what we see in the word of God. They were there, it says in verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. And that's where we are this morning. And it's where we be when we come along to pray. And we certainly don't have days of heaven and earth just now. But we may have. Because I had a book that man, Edwin Orr, had been the editor of. And with all of his research, I can't find it, by the way. If I lend it to you, could you give it back to me, please? I can't find it, and I can't even remember the name of it. But in that book, he gives details of the various revivals. And in some parts of the world, things went from amazing darkness to marvelous light in a relatively short space of time. And this morning, as we look at days of heaven and earth, I hope that the Lord comes along to you and lifts you up, Christian, because we constantly need lifted up. And when there's fear in the land, we need lifted up even more, And I want, as I look at this title with you this morning and focus upon those words, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I want to notice that God the Holy Spirit was evidenced mightily. He was evidenced mightily. It says there in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. The Lord, he came suddenly. Where it says suddenly there, it means in such a way that men weren't really expecting it. But it means more than that. The word suddenly means forcibly. And actually, the word in the original actually carries the meaning that could be associated with an act of violence. Something that was coming and there's nothing could stop it. Came unexpectedly. And it came suddenly. Because it says there that it was a mighty, like a rushing mighty wind. Back in 1904, most of the Principality of Wales, it is said, had drifted far away from God. But by 1904, the whole land was aflame with revival. And it is recorded by Oswald J. Smith that it came very unexpectedly. Some of you here have read about revival, and you will know that Evan Roberts was perhaps the main instrument. Now, there were lots of other people who were used, but God in his sovereignty used Evan Roberts in a special way. And right across the length and breadth of Wales, there was preaching and praying and singing and worshipping the Lord. And it is said that when that revival came in the early 20th century, that it had far-reaching results, far beyond what any Christian even thought would happen in their day. I read in Oswald Smith's little book that infidels were converted, drunkards, thieves, and gamblers were saved. Thousands of lives were reclaimed to respectability. There were confessions of the most awful deeds. Old debts were paid. And it is said that in Wales, even the mules that worked down the mines, they refused to work because the men who were working with them were not kind to them. And they were so used to being knocked about and badly abused that they didn't do what they were told because they didn't understand the kindness. What a change comes about when the Lord comes. It came suddenly. Back in the year 1835, there was an evangelist called Titus Cohen landed on the shore of Hawaii preaching the gospel. And a very short time after he arrived there, he said there were many days when he scarcely had time eat. I've never been to Hawaii. It's never been a place that I would naturally have associated with a spiritual awakening. But it is said that most days, overall, in the various meetings that Titus did, that he was speaking to about 15,000 people a day. And that there were people coming trembling and weeping. There were drunkards, there were adulterers, there were murderers. There were thieves, there were those who'd stolen property, and they come, and they were converted to the Lord, and everything was changed. And a tiny little church that had hardly anybody associated with it, at the end of 1 year, had over 5,200 people attending the meetings there. And folks, that is the kind of thing that happens in real revival. If you can read about Evan Roberts and about the Welsh revival, we would encourage you to do that. Because the Lord, we're looking here at the Holy Spirit came to assist mightily, but he came suddenly. And it can come suddenly for us. Christian, we need to keep praying. I'm not a dictator. I trust you know that by now. And I don't mean to, wouldn't for the world that anyone would think that I was bossing them or trying to. I do what I'm told. And then I think, well, I don't want bossed. No, I don't want to boss anybody else. That's only a joke, Charith, by the way. But folks, we need to keep praying. Keep praying that for those days of heaven and earth, that God's Holy Spirit would come amongst his people mightily. You see, that is where it starts. It comes suddenly among God's people. And then there was the effect, because as people began praying and others were saved, they began praying too. And the Lord was listening. And I mentioned to you there, people were changed to such an extent that even the donkeys down the mines, they wouldn't work because people were probably saying, come along now. And they never did that before they hit them. And they were bad to them. But not only did this revival come, this power of the Holy Spirit come mightily, that came mightily, come suddenly, it came very powerfully. David Brainerd was a missionary who was noted as a man who knew how to deal with the Lord and wrestle with the Lord in prayer. And he said, on one occasion, I was in such anguish and pleaded with so much earnestness and importunity, simply meaning he didn't stop, that when I rose from my knees, I felt extremely weak and totally exhausted. And if you know anything about the exploits of David Brainerd for the Lord, you will know that the Lord answered prayer for him. Some of you heard of Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And before he preached that sermon, there were several members of the church who were praying people who decided that they would spend most of the night praying for him. And as they prayed, and then Edwards preached. Now, please don't think that Jonathan Edwards was some kind of charismatic type character that was able to preach off the cuff, and that he was noted as this great preacher standing back and looking at the crowd. Jonathan Edwards could hardly see. And more than that, he did not have the most retentive memory. So as he was reading practically all his sermon off, his eyes were almost right down at his manuscript. It's not by might nor by power, you see, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I have always known that whenever he preached that sermon, that unsaved were crying out, lest they should slip into hell. But I found out another detail fairly recently. Some Christians were so stirred and shook up that they too grabbed onto pillars of the building. Such was the Spirit, the move of the Spirit of the Lord in the meeting. I tell you, that is when the Lord comes in power. There is reality. And that's the kind of thing that happened during the time of the apostles here. The help of the Holy Spirit came mightily. And when it did, he did come mightily, I want to say he came suddenly, he came powerfully, but he had a purifying effect. God comes among his church in a special way. Sets us apart, perhaps as we haven't been for a while. And he purges us. And he deals with our hearts in a way that helps us to be more useful instruments for him. Over there in John chapter 3, I'll just read you what it says in verse 8. Regarding the Holy Spirit, it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Yes, we know that we refer to that in God moving in a heart and saving a soul, and we don't know where he's going to do that. It could be me preaching, or it could be someone else, maybe someone who isn't a preacher at all, a full-time preacher fills in, and that is when the Lord moves. Well, we'd love that to happen. But it also This expression in verse 8 is also associated with the area of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty in moving in the hearts of men and women to save them, but also in the lives of people like you and me. Think of Jonah as an example. Jonah if I can use a 21st century expression, he took a hissy fit when the Lord asked him to go and preach to the Ninevites. He didn't like them. He hated them. It hurt his people. And he was even cross at the thought of the Lord changing them. But this is what it says in Jonah chapter 2. He's in dire straits now, as you know. The Lord has sent the fish, and the fish has swallowed him up. It says in verse 7 of chapter 2, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." And folks, there's the starting point for me as a Christian. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord in days when it's not days of heaven and earth. Remember what he can do. And Jonah, he was so full of bigotry that he hadn't really been focusing on the Lord. He said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came on to thee, into thine holy temple." He means business. It's not just a simple feeling sorry for himself. That wouldn't have worked. He was dealing with the Lord, and that doesn't work. He says here, "My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah's back in tune now, in a good degree with the Lord. He knew what the Lord could do. He had seen the evidence of God working before. He had known himself what the Lord was able to do. And he went on and he preached to the Ninevites. Now we know that he wasn't entirely happy with them, even when the Lord did move and save them. The Lord chastised him and said to him about the various ways in which he behaved were petty, really. But you know, whenever we read there in the book of Acts in chapter 2, and we're looking here at when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it reads there about the sound. Do you see what it says there in verse 2? "And suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." There was the hearing and there was the seeing. Now, the word sound there, as you see it in verse 2 of chapter 2, the word sound there is a word which means, is translated, noised abroad in verse 6. Or in another verse, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, when this was sounded abroad, and you see, the lesson is, brethren and sisters, that you and I have seen what the Lord can do, just like Jonah. And we hear, when we read the word and we listen to preaching, we hear what God can do. And even in more recent generations, these accounts of revival that I have mentioned to you, we hear and we see what God can do. And that gives to us a great responsibility. I mentioned purifying. Deals with dross. Stirs our hearts. Helps us to see what is so important. I mentioned earlier missionary work, and I would never. I just went to England for 5 years, and that was, in a sense, like being on the mission field. But I know it is much more difficult than some other places with totally different cultures and all of that. And it is something which you need a call to. We can feel very sorry for people and pray for them. We ought to do that and try to help them the best we can if we can do that. But if you want to go out to be a missionary, you need a very definite call. You see, Jonah's call was down to the Ninevites. He had so many other things going on. And the Lord took a dealing with him to the extent that, well, we mentioned the words earlier on there of how he got into the presence of the Lord again. And he said that he would pay his vows. And just like you and I, Jonah owed the Lord everything. He owed him everything. And folks, we're looking here at the hearing and the seeing. And over there, ties in with this in John. And read it just. It's John chapter 15. I want to read what it says. John chapter 15. The Lord is speaking here. He says in verse 26, "But when the Comforter," that's the Holy Spirit, "is come, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." See that? The Holy Spirit is going to testify of the Lord. He does that to us. He does it through preaching. And we see that in the Word. And we hear it. But look at the next verse. It says, "And ye also, shall bear witness." Ye also shall bear witness. And folks, that's what the world is crying out for now. For God to come upon his church in a mighty way, to come suddenly, because we need him to do that. To come in a way that is very powerful and will answer, hear our prayers and move as we pray, just as we read about Brainerd there and others, and will come in a way that will deal with my heart and will help me to see the urgency of noising abroad that Jesus saves. Ye also. Yes, the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of men, but "and ye also shall bear witness," both together. "He shall testify of me, and ye also." If I can read what it says in Ephesians in the first chapter. It's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says there, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" Do you ever read that verse slowly? "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" To me and you. "According to the working of his mighty power." Or as it says in your margin there, "of the might of his power," of the working of the might of his power. How does it work when I pray? You see, a Christian praying and God the Holy Spirit's work are inextricably linked. And there's probably very few people could show you examples of that better than that man I mentioned to you who passed away in the 1980s, Edwin Orr. And when revival came, and there were those days of heaven and earth, some of you may have watched the little clip on Nicholson there a wee while back. It was on Facebook, I think, and what had happened during Nicholson's time. If you were working in Belfast Shipyard, and a lot of men who had filthy tongues and lived for the booze and were selfish and hard, if they started coming into work, not just one or two, but lots of them, started coming into work with clean language, no talk of the pubs, talking about what the Lord had done, and bringing back the stuff that they had stolen from the yard to such an extent that sheds had to be opened to contain it. That's reality. That's reality. That's men knowing the Lord has done a work in their heart, and people being in that right relationship with him. And folks, we need those days. We're praying for them, and we're asking you to pray with us by all means if you can. But if you can't, pray at home. I know there are people not connected with this church who pray at home. People that have even, not free Presbyterians, who've seen the little Facebook, little posts, and are praying for us when we pray. But we need to do it. God's people need to pray that the Holy Spirit might come mightily. And when that happens, this was the beginning of days of heaven and earth. The help of the Holy Spirit came mightily, but the help of the Holy Spirit came individually. If you look at verses 2 and 3 there, for instance, it came upon the people there personally. And please, Christian, don't feel that the Lord, because you feel weak, that the Lord would just say, okay, I'll pass you by. Didn't expect you to do much anyway. No. Every single Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And where it says over there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In the original language, that is a command. So God comes to me when I feel weak and maybe I don't really feel like doing anything for him. Or maybe other things have crowded into the extent that I don't want to do as much as I did. But I just feel that I need more room for me. Well, the word commands me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with that Holy Spirit, our desire will be the same as it was for the apostle. In fact, the word filled there, you see it there at the end of verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 5. If you look in your Bible at John chapter 12, and verse 3, it says, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled. That word is the exact same word. The word carries the meaning of nowhere escaping. Of, you can picture the house, you've got various rooms, and everywhere in that house you go around, there is that perfume. What do you call those candles that you see at Christmas? Yankee candles. Hate them. Can't stand the smell. Sometimes Cherith burns them in the house. And everywhere you go, you try to escape away out of the road, but the Yankee candle smells got in there. And you get the picture here. There is the smell of this ointment right through the house now. And when God comes and fills a believer, he can deal with the sin. He can deal with the unbelief. He can deal with the doubt. He can deal with the hardness. He can deal with the grudges. He can deal with the onslaught of the world making you think that you must have what they have. He can deal with all of that and get into every area in your life. Ministers ought to be that type of person. So missionaries ought to be, but so should every child of God. Don't think God has sent you aside today. And if you failed or faltered, as someone said, it wasn't me. They said, don't give up. Just get up. Get up. Days of heaven on earth. The Holy Spirit came mightily upon the people. Came suddenly and powerfully and dealt with hearts. But he came individually. But he also came purposefully. Look at verse 4. It says there, in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were preaching. They were now had a great trust in the word. The word speak there means to speak with confidence. Folks, let's believe the Bible. Plenty don't, but you do. Let's believe it, and if we're not pulpit preachers in our gossiping the gospel, let's declare it boldly, because it means that as well. It actually means to publish loudly. So if anyone says to you, oh, open air preaching isn't right, well, you're to publish it loudly according to this. Trusting in the word, they went out purposefully to reach others. But there's not just the trusting here, there was the content. If you look in verse 11, what did they speak about? They spoke about the wonderful works of God. Bringing them to the cross. Bringing men and women to the person of Christ. To the one who came to die. Sinless Lamb of God. People today hate him. But some can be changed. If days of heaven and earth come. This person, his work on the cross. Get men and women to listen to you to that point, you're doing well. And in his ability to totally transform their lives. That is the message that they went out with to everyone. I say here that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he came upon them purposefully. It was that they might reach others with the Lord. But if you look there in verses 6, 7 and 8, we've already named some of the people that everybody heard the gospel in their own language. That was the other tongues. They had a different language because they're from a different place, and they heard the word of God in their own language. Was that not a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel? Folks, the language barrier was broken down by the Lord. And in Northern Ireland at the moment, people like me don't have much audience. People like you. Yes, we live in a country where there's maybe more Christians than any other country this size. And we're grateful for that. We appreciate all of that. But overall, you don't have much audience. People don't like your language because you speak about sin. And you speak about God's call to repentance. They don't like that. But the Lord is able to give you audience. There was the Holy Spirit came mightily, came individually, came purposefully. And do pray, please, that language barriers would be broken down, as it were, that those who seemed hardened and adamant that the word of God is totally off track, that their hearts will be spoken to through the preaching of the word. Seeking to as it were, mollycoddle people. And to why I agree with so many things with you, and you know, we need to preach the word. It's the word that will change men and women. I pray that God will prepare a highway for the preaching of his word in the coming days. And one final thought here, that we've looked at mightily, individually, purposefully, but orderly. If you look in verse 1, it says, when the time of Pentecost was fully come, they were all there with one place. Now, you will notice here the connection between the feast of Pentecost and the other feasts. God had it organized. God had it organized that so many people would be there, and that when the word was preached, that so many people would be reached. And folks, we're glad today that we believe that God is still in control. And if ever was a time when the United Kingdom needed the word of God, the gospel, and that Christians needed to be in tune with him, it's now. We can't have those days of heaven and earth. That is what it was like when revival came there at the time of Pentecost, when so many were converted. And that's what it was like when revival came during the days of the 1858 revival in America, and then 1859, notably here in Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland as well. When the Wesleys preached and revival came, when Evan Roberts was the instrument in Wales, there were like days of heaven on earth. Somebody texted me there just the other day, a friend, and they just simply said, did you ever take time just to look upon the world just as an observer, and then you just simply say, what? I knew what they meant. But folks, things are not too hard for the Lord. And may the Lord give us days of heaven and earth in this congregation. Good Spirit, when I came through the door this morning, I knew the Lord was here. And may give it to us individually in our own homes and our own lives, but may give it to us in Northern Ireland. We desperately need it. Thank you for listening. Trust the Lord will bless these words to your heart.